This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Got Olympics withdrawal symptoms yet? Well, we have the cure. We'll bring you a flavour of sprinter Chris O'Donnell's homecoming in Grange last night. And here come the Paris Paralympics. From his pre-games training camp in Portugal this evening, Sligo paracyclist Martin Gordon joins us. Fifth in Tokyo 3 years ago, he's back and ready for more. And you're welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan. Here are the contact details by WhatsApp and text to the number 083 3500 530. By email, sport@oceanfm.ie will get us, and you'll find us on X as well, at Ocean FM Sport. Also coming up, club championship football continues to crank up the gears across the local counties. The men's football championship beginning this weekend in Sligo, and tomorrow night in Leitrim, the ball will be thrown in on the Leitrim Gotham Drive Wall Women's Senior Football Championship. Glen Carmanor Hamilton beginning their quest for five in a row. Leitrim LGFA chairperson Cathy Butler will explain how the county is looking to capitalise on the afterglow of that All-Ireland Intermediate Championship success at inter-county level in Croke Park a couple of weeks ago. First this evening, an update on the homecoming arrangements for some of our local Olympians. Donegal's Kelly McGrory will receive hers tomorrow evening, Friday, at the Abbey Vocational School in Donegal Town, her alma mater, at 6 p.m. Kelly, remember, was part of the women's 4x400 metres relay squad. Finn Valley Athletic Club are hosting a similar event on Saturday afternoon for 800 metres Olympic semi-finalist Mark English. That's in the Finn Valley Centre in Stranorlar at 2 p.m. There will be two events for swimmer and Olympic bronze medalist Mona McSharry towards the end of the month. One in Ballyshannon, where her home swimming club Marlins are based, and we think that's on Wednesday the 28th of August, and one will be in Mona's home village of Grange the following evening, Thursday the 29th. More details anon. Last night, Grange and North Sligo Athletics Club had a warm welcome for the other North Sligo Olympian, sprinter Chris O'Donnell. He was part of the Ireland 4x400 metres mixed relay quartet. Last night he was chauffeured into the local Grange car park in a snazzy red MG, driven by local parish priest Father Christy McHugh. That's the way you get around. Here's a flavour of the homecoming, beginning with some thoughts from the man himself.
I know, I am. Well, I feel really welcome, and it's amazing. Like, the turnout is unbelievable. Like, so many familiar faces and so many new faces as well, which is great, because, like, you know, friends from years and years have turned up, and then hopefully have inspired the new people as well, and they're the new faces, so it's really good to see.
It certainly looks like, given by the turnout here tonight alone, Chris, you've certainly inspired loads of people.
Yeah, everyone's coming up, and by all accounts, it's everyone of all ages has been inspired, so that's great too. It's not just the young kids. So yeah, if I can inspire some people, then, like, that's half the job. So.
And you said it a couple of times here this evening, Grange really is an Olympic village now.
Oh, it is, and trust me, everyone's aware. Everyone there in Paris is aware of Grange. Like, I'm not just saying that. Everyone comments on it, on the support that we have. Like, they wish they had what we have, but it's our special little village.
And obviously, Chris, this is your second Olympics. Tokyo was a little bit different. What was the main differences between Tokyo and Paris, apart from the obvious ones?
Yeah, I think it was just, like, so open. I feel like I had a proper Olympic experience. Like, we had the closing ceremony there, like, really good access. Was able to experience the crowd, obviously. Like, we were able to, once I was finished, I was able to go into the stadium, experience that. I was able to go into Paris as well on a couple of my off days to see the city and what they were doing with the Olympics. It was amazing, and all the venues they had was so cool. So it was like a proper Olympics. And even then tonight, like, you know, no one's worried about COVID or anything like that, you know, so it's really good.
Obviously, it was a fantastic Olympics for Ireland, the best ever. How much did Ireland's success with all the medals translate, and how much did it lift Team Ireland across the whole Games?
Yeah, it did. It's one after the other. You know, swimming's always on first, and the swimmers really set the bar high, and then we got some in boxing and rowing. They're always going to medal. Those guys are amazing. So then athletics is on last, and we get the biggest crowds, and you know, we really felt that, you know, the support from the guys like it got bigger and bigger as the games went on.
And obviously, Chris, you're not finished yet, even though the Olympics is over. You still have a couple of races left this year.
Yeah, a couple of races, just kind of see what I can squeeze out the rest of the season. Kind of a little bit of pressure's off, but now it's kind of looking at next year. I'll have a little break after a month's time, about a month off, and then it'll be setting my goals again. So time flies, and like as I said, it'll be 4 years around before we know it again.
And what are those goals?
Next year, we've got the World Championships in Tokyo next September, so it's a long way away, but like that'll be the next short-term goal. And then the following year, European Championships, the following year, World Championships again, and then we're back to hopefully LA, fingers crossed.
And obviously, Chris, it's been a fantastic year for yourself. The relay at the Olympics may not have gone your way, but you're still standing here tonight with a European gold medal around your neck.
Yeah, exactly. Like, unfortunately, we kind of probably didn't have our full team there at the Europeans, but we still pretty much gave it everything. Two places off a final, 10th place overall with the year we've had. I've no complaints at all.
Chris, well done. Welcome home.
Thanks a lot.
Let's have a word with Chris O'Donnell's parents, Heidi and Philip, and his sister, Carla. Heidi, what's the last fortnight been like for an Olympic mum?
Well, it's been just an amazing experience, bit of a roller coaster, really. A lot of travelling and just so many highs along the way. It's just been fantastic. Like, we were in Rome for the European Championships, then we were in Paris for the Olympic Games. I mean, I'm just still on a bit of a high, to be honest, because we have this event here tonight, so this is, you know, lovely, absolutely lovely to come home to. So
you're having the time of your life, admit the truth.
Yes, absolutely. Oh yeah, we won't know what to do with ourselves now after this, because we have another long wait for the next Olympic Games. But please God, there'll be a lot more in between, yeah.
And Philip, as an Olympic dad, are you able to enjoy this competition? You know, being trackside for an Olympic heat, an Olympic final, or are you riddled with nerves that you want your boy to do the best he can?
Well, we've been to several major championships over the years watching Christopher, and I thought coming into this one, we had plenty of practice with nerves, but no, this was Olympics, this brought the nerves up a notch, and yeah, we managed to hold it together. But yeah, it's kind of surreal. And then, you know, the race is over in what, 3-something minutes, and you know it's done, and you're trying to come to terms with the next steps. So a bit surreal. I remember then the next day we went to the stadium with Christopher. He joined us. And you could kind of enjoy the atmosphere a bit more, because yeah, the first day was kind of in the moment in the race, and yeah, a bit nervous.
In the Stade de France, Heidi, are you up off your seat, roaring and shouting, or are you calmer than that?
I'm calm, at the start, but once the gun goes off, I am up and roaring them all on. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Get in the zone with them all. But the fans out there was amazing, like all the Irish. They were all up, and I think there were more Irish there than any other nationality. It was fantastic. So yeah, everybody came back hoarse.
And the messages you get, guys, over the last few weeks, is that nice to receive, to be, you know, the well wishes and connections, and maybe people who you haven't connected with for a while are suddenly messaging in, is that your fellow? God, fair play to him.
Yeah, I mean, both in person and then I suppose one of the positives of social media is, you know, we have family all over the world that we can get in contact through Facebook and other platforms, and, you know, the amount of well wishers we got is just overwhelming, really, and we're just amazed by it all and so thankful to everybody for the brilliant support.
And Carla, you're probably one of the first people who raced against Chris O'Donnell in the back garden at home as a kid. Did you ever beat him?
Do you know what? We used to kind of race up to our grandmother's door, trying to see who could ring the doorbell first. I must say, I think that's the first time I bet him, and I'll hold that close to my heart.
Good for you. Is it nice to have a brother competing on the international stage for Ireland?
Yeah, of course. Like, I'm just so inspired by everything he does, and just like seeing his determination and hard work, you know, inspires me in just like everyday life. Like, I'm not obviously not an athlete, But just in everything I do, like, you know, I take everything he does on board as well.
And Heidi, to finish, do these things come in threes? Will you be hoping that your son will aim for a third Olympic Games in 4 years' time?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt, he's aiming for LA. Yes, he'll be putting in the hard work for LA. Yeah.
Well, we've got different generations here of the North Sligo Athletic Club. Niall Canning is the current chairperson. Michael Kearney is the person in my childhood was Mr. North Sligo Athletic, still going strong. And we think the founder of North Sligo Athletic Club, Paddy Ward, Donegal native, but has grown up most of his life here in Sligo. Is it true you founded the club, Paddy?
That's correct, Austin, yeah.
When was that?
Back in 77. That's a long time ago now.
And remind us how the club started. Give us a quick resume.
We just started off with the community games, first of all. Gussie McHugh came in with me and we started the community games. And it led on from there. And the next thing, I could see an opening for an athletic club. So I called a meeting anyway. And Michael here, he attended that meeting. And I didn't know Michael at the time. But then promotion took me away from here then, after 5 years. I handed over to Michael Kearney after that, and he did a better job on it than I ever did.
And back in 1977, could you have envisaged that somebody in a North Sligo Athletics Club singlet would be in an Ireland Olympic singlet?
Well, I had no doubt. Even back then, we had a number of young girls here, and they were brilliant. And I used to take them up as far as Clare Morris for training about once a month, even though I did the training here with them myself, you see. But I took them up there anyway, and they were able to see what happened, how it was done there as well. So there's really no different than what I was doing. So they had great potential, and they did very well in community games and all that. So, and they went on and met, there's some of them doctors and all now, would you believe it, today. So that's how it all came about, Austin.
And listening to that is one of the men who helped nurture those athletes that Paddy's talking about along the way, Michael Kearney. All those cross-country mud races down through the years and decades, Michael, the track events, watching Mary Cullen in a European Indoor Championships, all the other nationals. Like, when you look at an event like tonight to see where North Sligo athletes are reaching for now, what are your own emotions?
Yeah, it's unbelievable where they came from, like, you know, a smaller club like North Sligo AC, like, and where they are now at the top of the world. See Chris there tonight, like, with a European gold medal for the relay and a double Olympian. It's just amazing, like, it's just amazing. And Mona obviously started with us too. She was running with us till she was about 10. And then the swimming took over, so, you know.
Was she a good runner?
Well, she was a reasonable runner, but obviously she was a better swimmer, and the swimming took over, and as you know, swimming takes a lot of time, so that was twice a day training, so she didn't have time to come to the club then, so she obviously left it.
Do you still get the same joy watching an Olympic Games in 2024 as you did guiding young under 12 runners through their paces at a training session on a cold November night?
Oh, I certainly do. Like, I mean, I thought Paris was just brilliant. Some unbelievable performances. And I get as excited as I did, like, you know, 50 years ago. You know, it's great to have that, feeling, like, and that excitement, like, of seeing somebody, you know, going past what you thought they could do. Like, it's just unbelievable, like, you know.
And Niall Canning, chairperson of North Sligo AC in 2024. You're listening to some of your forefathers here. All this success, it must make North Sligo Athletics a very easy sell these days.
Yeah, it's definitely an easy sell. We have nearly 400 members and we have 40 coaches. And as I keep saying, the 40 coaches, what they do on a voluntary day in, day out, is brilliant. But just these two gentlemen here, especially Paddy and Michael, like, on behalf of Michael is my coach at the minute, and he's an inspiration, I would say behind his back, he's an inspiration. You go down on a Tuesday night, he is there. He's there before you. I might be a few minutes late, but there's never any negativity. Everything is positive, and he always finds the best out of you. And even Chris, chatting to Chris there a few minutes ago, he will always, he'll never forget his roots, and he'll always on about the North Sligo Athletic Club. He's always appreciative, and especially when you see a night like tonight, what sport does as a community, what it does for a community. North Sligo, we're very lucky. We've two facilities, one in Grange, one in Oxfield, and we're after having exciting news that we're going to have, hopefully in the next few months, we're going to start our new development here to have our first tartan track in North Sligo. So these two gentlemen beside me, like, it's going to be proud to see the grassroots, what they have started with, and then what we're now hopefully developing it, taking to the next stage. And look, at 4 years, as you said on stage, what's another 4 years? We can see we're going to be back here again in another 4 years, and hopefully we're going to have more than just Chris up on stage here in 4 years' time.
And Michael and Paddy, finally, to finish, it does show anything is possible, doesn't it? Like, you can start from humble beginnings in 1977 to the sky is the limit. I mean, North Sligo athletes are proving that now.
Oh, definitely, without a shadow of doubt. And sure, look, we have to start at the bottom and build up.
And Michael, you're still coaching in your own way?
Yes, indeed, I'm still coaching. It's mostly the Masters now I coach, I think. But, I mean, I get excitement from the likes of Niall there now. The last Sunday week, he was third in the National Masters over 35, ran a big personal best. He's improving the whole time. So not alone is he a good chairperson, he's a good runner as well. So we're delighted.
And if there are young, budding Chris O'Donnells listening and say, I'd like a piece of that, the door's always open in North Sligo, Niall?
The door is always open. Unique, we welcomed the Ukrainian community here this year. Has been really unique for us. Plus as well is we have welcomed in then that younger generation that might have a bit of learning difficulties. We've welcomed in them as well. Coaches are currently going through training sessions at the minute to upgrade their skills to work with those youth that have the learning disabilities, that might not feel that when they go to the team sports might not feel that they can fit in, or might feel that there's a bit of difficulty. At least with the North Sligo Athletic Club, we're open to everybody. And that's one thing I felt as well. Everybody is treated the same. Even when you go down to training, Master Carney here, I call him the gaffer. He has a special training plan for the good runners and the developing runners, and then the good runners. It's a whole different training plan. But I'm delighted here with Paddy. I'm delighted here with Michael. It's a proud day for me. Look, I'm new into the club, and it's very proud for me to be here, standing here as chairperson North Sligo. And if I can do only a fraction what these two men can do, well, obviously I've been a success.
He'll hardly ever turn you into an athlete, though. That's asking too much, isn't it, Niall Kenny?
Well, he has gone to Lourdes on different occasions and asked for miracles. So we might send him to Lourdes again for one more miracle.
Lord graciously hear us. Niall Canning, chairperson of North Sligo Athletic Club, with Michael Carney, and one of the founders of North Sligo SE way back in the 1970s, Paddy Ward. If you're grabbing the TV remote and searching for... just before we get to that, actually, just to remind you, there will be that similar event for swimmer Mona McSharry in Grange towards the end of the month. More details on that to come in due course. But if you have been reaching for the television remote and searching for speed climbing or gymnastics or synchronised swimming in recent days and don't know what quite to do with yourself, fear not, because the Paris Paralympics is coming hurtling down the track towards us. They begin on the 28th of August, running until September the 8th. There'll be a 35 strong Ireland Paralympic team, and in there amongst them is Sligo man Martin Gordon, who's getting ready to compete in his second Paralympics. Martin works by day as a barrister in Dublin. 3 years ago, alongside his tandem rider Eamon Byrne, Gordon finished fifth in cycling's 1 kilometre indoor time trial, or the kilo as it's known in indoor cycling. Now he's on his way back to Paris for more, and earlier this evening Martin spoke to us from his pre-games training camp in Portugal. I'll let him paint the picture of where exactly he is.
Yeah, Playa Calamadeia in northern Portugal. We've used this as a training base for a good number of years now. We use it for holding camp for pre-Tokyo. We've used it for pre-world champs this year and last year. And here we are again just before Paris.
And why Portugal? What's the big advantage there?
Well, the weather's good for the enduro riders to get on the road, but the facility we use has accommodation and the velodrome and the gym and all suites that we need in one building. And then for food and everything else, where it's just down the road. So really, it's a very isolated, kind of confined environment that maximises training time, but also, most importantly, the recovery time, the downtime between sessions is maximised without having to travel to and from accommodation to velodrome. It's all in the one place.
How long have you been there, Martin?
We are 8-9 days into camp. Kind of losing track of time now.
I'm sure. So are you in a pre-Paralympic bubble, so to speak? I mean, have you been able to take in any of the Olympic Games at all?
Oh, yeah, we did, of course. Yeah, we were watching the games every evening while we were having dinner and different things, or watching things during the day. But like, our focus is on our games, not one that was on TV. But of course, we're sports fans as well as athletes. So of course, we were taking them in.
How would you describe your journey to these, your second Paralympics since Tokyo, in terms of your own sporting development?
Well, that was a lot different than Tokyo. I think experience lends itself a lot to what you do in anything in life, but particularly in sport. So my approach was, weren't any wholesale changes, but you knew what the expectations were. You knew how to apply yourself better in some elements than you would have done previously. And overall, you just had a better sense of what was ahead of you and what you needed to do to apply yourself at the very most to get to the second games. Getting to one game was a huge achievement, but to reach the top of the mountain twice, in some respects, maybe more straightforward, other respects, not so straightforward.
Eamon Byrne, if memory serves me, was your pilot in Tokyo 3 years ago. You have a change of partner for Paris?
Yes, a chap called Owen Mullen from Galway. He's on the front of the bike now, and Eamon has taken up a coaching role, so he's very much on the side of the track with us as well. So he's stepped away from riding 3 years ago, but he's really stepped into an incredible coaching role. And with Owen on the front of the bike, it's really been a success in 3 years. And to qualify for the Games with a new pilot, that is in itself another big achievement for us.
And is that a big adjustment, Martin, or was it a big adjustment to get used to the nooks and crannies of a different partner on the bike?
Oh, yeah, it is, of course. And particularly for a pilot coming into who never rode a tandem before, it's a huge change for them. Like, I'm used to riding the tandem, used to the back of the tandem. But for a new pilot, one, they're getting used to a tandem, and two, then you have the getting used to each other on the bike, and particularly on a tandem, with sprinters, we feel every twitch and every movement of the bike. So to try to get as much synchronicity and settle in together, it does take a long time, and it's not an exact line. So some days are still better than others.
And you're back to take on the 1 kilometre time trial, or the kilo, mm-hmm. as it's known in paracycling, which you finished fifth in Tokyo, top five in the world. How have preparations been going for you?
Preparations have been good. We've had 3 world championships. We've consistently performed in the top 5 of those 3 world championships since Owen started on the front of the bike. So from a world's perspective, from time's perspective, it's been very, very good. It's been positive. You always want more, and we definitely want to go to Paris and get more. And we want to give our best performance. And naturally enough, you want to go better than you went the last time.
I know you spoke to us before about how small the margins are between finishing second and 11th. You know, the quality at this end of the sport is so high that the differences are minute. But are there specific things you can work on in terms of, well, I don't know if it's stamina or technique or the actual infrastructure of the bike to make you go faster?
Well, a huge part of what we do comes down to technique. You've got two very, very powerful guys on the bike, and you put those two guys on solo bikes and they're incredibly powerful. So for us, it's to be able to harness that power that we have and express that through the technique. Once you get the technique right, the power is always there. There's no lack of that. But it's nailing down that technique. And with those fine, fine, fine margins, the tenth of a second makes a huge difference in our event. Like in Tokyo, even at the Worlds just there back in Rio in March, you're talking less than a second, even half a second between the top from a medal to seventh.
And who are the countries, you know, in the top tier alongside yourselves in the kilo?
You have the British bikes, the Australian bikes, you have the German bike. So these are the kind of guys who will be going up against, which we do all the time. So we're familiar foes and we're well used to each other.
I imagine you know each other pretty well because you're on the same circuit for so long.
Oh, yeah, we do. We do. We know each other very well. And when the racing is all over, you go for beers with these guys. You have a laugh with these guys between races. There's the rivalry on the track, but there's a lovely community of sprinters where sprinters just, you know, they get along. We all know the hurt and the pain that we go through as sprinters, so there's that kind of good camaraderie amongst us. Is we will be chatting to all the guys from the different bikes. I mean, even when we get to the velodrome, wherever it might be, for whatever competition, there's always, you know, hugs and chats with everybody. So it's a nice community, but then we want to kill each other on the track as well.
And you have a second event in Paris this time around, Martin. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so in Tokyo, myself and Eamon decided to do the road race because we had to do a second event. The rules stipulate that every bike must do two events. But the powers that be, in their infinite wisdom, have made the decision yet again not to include the second sprint event in the Games. Now, the mass sprint is probably our best and strongest event, but unfortunately it's not going to be in the Games again. So we have to do a second event, and we're going to do the 4 kilometre individual pursuit on the open day competition, the 29th of August. That would be for us more of a potentiation effort. So we really use that as we won't be riding for medals in that one, but we'll be using that as an event. It'll settle the nerves. We'll get a good hit out, and you know, the other sprinters will be doing the same thing, and we'll be kind of, you know, we're almost in the way, but it's something that we have to do. But unfortunately, the match sprint, which is the most spectator-friendly event, and naturally enough, I would say that, but when you have two tandems going up against each other at 70 kilometres an hour for the line, that is well worth a watch. But unfortunately, the spectators won't get that in Paris.
Okay. The fact that it's your second Paralympics, Martin, in some respects, has that washed the novelty factor out of the preparations for you, that you can kind of concentrate now on the hardcore competition this time around?
No, it's like a first Games all over again, because we don't have a pandemic. We're not in the middle of a bubble here wearing masks and been completely paranoid about catching COVID, not going to the Games. We're going to a Games with all your family and friends in there. You're going to a Games knowing that there's going to be either 5,000 or 7,000 people in the arena when you're racing. You're going to a Games that is only less than a 2-hour flight from home. It's completely different. It's in a city I know well. I've been to Paris many times. My other half lived in Paris, so it's a special kind of place for us as a family as well. Like, my daughter speaks French, so it's a nice, there is a novelty factor there. But to go back to your question, the hardcore training, the hardcore work, the focus, the intent is every bit as much as it was 3 years ago, and if not even more, because you just want more. You want more and more and more. You're greedy for more, and that's sport.
So family will be in Paris with you for the Games?
My family-wise, I think it could be 12, 13, 14, 15 of family and friends going over. So a good old crew with them.
A good Gordon shindig by the sounds of things, which is nice to have that support, I'm sure.
It is. It's incredible. Like, my parents were over in Paris 2 years ago when we had a world champs, and that was lovely. I was there first time. But it wasn't my dad's. My mother's first time seeing you racing in the track. Especially for them. And my daughter absolutely loves going to the velodrome. She'll sit there and watch every other race after I'm finished. She loves it. So, and no one there in the crowd, it doesn't take away from your focus, but when it's all over, it's nice to go see them.
For the Olympic Games, Ireland sent its biggest ever team to an Olympics and came home with its biggest ever medal haul. What's your sense of the expectation around the Team Ireland Paralympic team in France?
Well, we have 35 athletes, and we as a Paralympic squad are no strangers to medals. And I think the cycling squad has always been the most successful medal haul. We have some incredible medal potential within the cycling squad, in the swimming squad. So I think the Olympic team did a fantastic job and they really represented the country so well, but they set the stage and we are more than happy to take it up from here.
Martin Gordon, Team Ireland paracyclist, speaking to us from his training camp in Portugal earlier this evening. The Paralympics run in France from the 28th of this month through to September the 8th. And Martin's first event, the 4 kilometre pursuit, is on the opening day of competition, Thursday the 29th. Sunday the 1st of September is his main event, the indoor 1 kilometre time trial, along with his tandem partner. On that second day, so he'll have a 2-day gap between events 1 and 2. We wish him luck at the Paralympic Games in France later this month. When we come back, who can stop Glencar Manor women completing the 5 in a row in Leitrim this year?
The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan.
Well, in Gaelic football, more accolades for Leitrim's Alva Clancy today. She was named as the GPA's PWC Player of the Month for August. The Glenfarne native scored 2-3 at Croke Park earlier this month to help Leitrim lift the TG Cahir All-Ireland Intermediate Football title. Alva was named Player of the Match in that game, but for her, it's not about the personal awards.
I just wanted to get out and play and do as well as I could do for the team, and it's just the Player of the Match is just a bonus really, but everyone contributed to it, every single player, management, backroom team, it's that Player of the Match is for everyone, so it's not just an individual game, so I'm just delighted.
And no rest for Alva or her clubmates at Glencar Manor Hamilton, because they start the defence of their Leitrim Gotham Drywall Senior Football Championship title when they host St Mary's tomorrow Friday evening in Bogone in their opening group match at 7:30. The Adult Club Championships in Women's Gaelic Football in Leitrim launched last weekend on the boardwalk at the picturesque Acres Lake in Drumshambo. And there for us was reporter PJ Leddy, who spoke to the chairperson of Leitrim LGFA, Cathy Butler, about the afterglow of that All-Ireland success at Croke Park for Leitrim women's football and about the growing standards amongst the top teams at club championship level.
The standard is exceptionally high, and you know, we see that, like, even looking at across the fixtures there, you're kind of saying, gosh, where is this going to go? You know, who's going to get the edge on another club in any of the three divisions? Because, you know, the standard is high. The skill level is exceptionally high, and you know, it's going to be, you know, it can be anyone's championship really. And yet, like, Glencar and Hamilton have been flying high and are the standard bearers, and everyone has them as their, I suppose, their target. And you know, I think that's a credit to Glencar and Hamilton and what they've achieved over the last number of years, that they're setting that standard, and you know, they're as the flag bearers for the county. And you know, that's the same across all of the divisions. Everyone has their, you know, has their eyes on the championship, has their eyes on the title. And you know, particularly with county players coming back into club setups, you know, looking again at the senior championship in particular there, where you've got all six clubs are well represented on the county team, and you know, with those girls coming back in, it'll really buoy clubs and as they head into the championship. And you know, equally in intermediate, there are lots of teams there that have just come down from senior that are, you know, kind of I suppose really excited about getting back up and keen to get back up to senior level. There are teams that have just come from junior and will fancy the chances as well. So you know, it's really fantastic.
Yes, indeed it is. And I forgot to mention also, of course, that St. Bridget's got to the Connacht Junior Club Championship Final last year. So Leitrim certainly is on a high, and probably that has all fed into Leitrim's win in Croke Park last Sunday. Nevertheless, looking at the senior championship, when is the senior, junior, intermediate championship starting?
Yes, so the championship kicks off next weekend, from the 16th, Friday the 16th. There's a one round of games, and then Sunday the 18th, the remainder of the games are being played, and then it'll continue on. There are a number of breaks at different stages. I think the 8th of uh, the weekend of the 8th of September is a break, but outside of that it's straight through till the end of September, and then with the finals early October. So that's kind of that's the plan at the moment.
So it's going to be a very intensive time on the club football front for the ladies in Leitrim. Lots of games every weekend, and lots to be played for. Obviously, qualification for quarterfinals and semi-finals, and then finals. They're going to be big issues over the next few weeks.
Absolutely, and like it's fantastic this year. I suppose in particular, we're so excited that all 16 clubs are fielding adult teams. We have 19 teams competing across the three divisions, with three teams having a second team in the junior championship. Glencar, Manor Hamilton, Drumahaire and St Mary's having two teams entered, which is you know just fantastic for participation. And you know, as I said, it's just brilliant to have all 16 LGFA clubs represented in the adult championship. And you know, we've got six teams in senior, five in junior, and then our eight teams in the or sorry five in intermediate and eight teams in junior. So you know, really just it bodes very well for very healthy competitive and three very healthy competitive competitions.
That's it, and there's going to be a lot of great football games played over the coming weeks in Leitrim. Obviously you have got them Drywall New York on board as a sponsor this year. Sponsorship is very important for the progress of football in all counties, and Gotham Drywall sponsorship is very important for Leitrim, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Like Gotham Drywall have been fantastic for us over the last number of years, and you know, they flew in to see the game last weekend, the Leitrim ladies playing Croke Park last weekend, which shows that, you know, they're not just a monetary sponsor. You know, they were really keen to be part of the day and the occasion as well. Like, so they're very very, very supportive with the Leitrim links, and we really appreciate all of the sponsorship. And equally, you know, it's the support we've received as a county board over the last number of, particularly over the last number of weeks, in terms of the sponsor, player and individual businesses and individuals in general, supporting our iDonate is really valuably, you know, it's really valuable to us, and it's greatly appreciated. It was tagged on to the fact that we were in the All-Ireland final, but you know, that sponsorship is used across the board, across our underage teams, across our club competitions. It's not just fed into our adult teams, or you know, the money isn't just spent on our adult team. It's keeping the entire operation afloat. From under 13 PDPs, they're in the Centre of Excellence in Ballyhonus today at the Connacht Blitz Day. You know, they're the various you know, it's not just a set the Connacht, it's not just the adult team. And equally, there were various companies who supported our under 14s, under 16s and our minors in terms of sponsorship for gear, etc. And we're really appreciative of all of those contributions as well.
And obviously, the next thing everybody may want to know, are fixtures made for all the championships which are starting next weekend?
They are for the senior and the intermediate. The fixtures are made, the draws were made, and the fixtures are laid out. The junior is a little bit different in that there are eight teams, and we only have space for five rounds. So it's kind of similar to what the men are doing. We've made a draw for the first round, and then the draws for the subsequent four rounds will be made week on week to vary it a little bit because of the numbers. And at the same time, we didn't want to split it into two groups, etc., because it would have been a little bit. You know, narrow in that you only have three games, so it's a better option having five games, but just not everybody will play each other.
Obviously, there was a great crowd in Croke Park from Leitrim last Sunday. Certainly, everybody in Croke Park knew that Leitrim was playing, because the Leitrim people certainly raised their voices to lift the roof off Croke Park if there was a roof on it. I'd say you'd like to encourage everybody to come out now and support the Leitrim Club Championship.
Absolutely, PJ. Like, I mean, you know, I think as a county we did ourselves proud last weekend. The numbers of people who travelled to Croke Park, like, it was just phenomenal. The noise that we made, like, we were the extra player on the field there, and we helped our girls, you know, as supporters, we helped our girls come down the stretch there, and the support was fantastic. And then, not to mention that, but the crowds of people, the thousands of people who lined the streets of Carrick and Shannon when the girls returned in the rain, as we said, 2 hours late, and still the crowds gathered and welcomed home their heroes. And then that was followed all week by the crowds of people in the various clubs who came out to support their own local heroes. And that hasn't, you know, we haven't visited all of the clubs yet, so to be, you know, just to be You know, as a county, we should be exceptionally proud of ourselves and the support we've given to our senior team. So equally, like, I think people will have, you know, well, I suppose that will have whetted the appetite of quite a number of people, and people will be more enthused and enticed to attend the ladies' games at club level over the course of the next, you know, 7 weeks, really, I suppose, 7 to 8 weeks. And I'm absolutely certain they won't be disappointed when they show up at the club games, because the standard will be excellent.
Cathy Butler, chairperson of Leitrim LGFA, the three Gotham Drywall Senior Championship opening matches this weekend. Glencarmanagh, the holders, against St Mary's tomorrow evening in Bagón at 7:30. Then on Sunday morning, Aughawillan play St Bridget's. Carrigallen play St Joseph's. The opening games this weekend in the Intermediate Championship: St Francis against Anna Duff. Drumahair go to Mohill. Drumcarran, the team with a bye in the Gotham Drywall Women's Intermediate Championship this weekend. Here are the fixtures for round three of the Leitrim Men's Connacht Gold Senior Championship this weekend. Saturday evening, Mohill at home to Glencarmanagh, Ballinamore play Drumahair, and Leitrim Gaels play Aughawillan, all at 7:00. Tomorrow evening, two matches: Gortletra against St Mary's and Fenis and Callions against Anna Duff. Round two matches this weekend in the Intermediate Championship: two games tomorrow night, Ballinagleera hosting neighbours Drumcarran, and Kiltrubber play Ahavas, both at 7:00. Then on Saturday evening at 7, Allan Gales against Carrigallen, Melvin Gales against St Mary's, and Ochnashiellan against Drumreilly. In Sligo, the 2024 Homeland Senior Football Championship begins this weekend in Group 1 on Saturday evening. Shamrock Gales against Tubbercurry and Bunnanaddin at 7:00 is the live stream game. And there'll be live coverage here as well on Saturday Sports Beat Extra on Ocean FM. Then on Sunday, Eastkeith play Colry St Joseph's and Castleconnor at 5 p.m. We'll have commentary on that game as well. The holders, Colera Strandhill, have the bye. In Group 2, Kerry play St Milosh Gales on Saturday at 7:00. Milosh, of course, lifting the Division 1 league title last Sunday. We'll have updates on that game this Saturday evening on Sports Beat Extra. And then on Sunday at 2, St Mary's play Tourlestrad in Caish at 2:00. That's the live stream game for Sligo GAA this weekend on Sunday afternoon. Drumcliff Ross's Point, the team with the bye. And in Donegal, round two of the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Senior Football Championship. For Masters, Donegal travel to Downings. Kilcar host St Noel's. Aru of Ballyshannon go to Dunloe. The big one on Sunday is Naomh Connell, the holders, against St Hunan's. In rallying, Sligo native Niall Burns is making a return to the World Rally Championship next month for the third time in his career. He's going to be a co-driver in a round of the WRC, this time in Rally Greece, or Rally of the Gods as it's known. That'll be the September the 4th to the 6th. Burns is living in Kilmacrenan in Donegal. He'll be navigator to the Omani driver Hamid Al-Wahibi, and he's been telling Ocean FM Sport about how this move came about.
The deal has really only come to light now in the last 2 weeks. My original plan was to be competing in Rally Lebanon with Canada as weighty, but unfortunately due to facilities in the country, it's not feasible for me to travel at the minute. And this other deal came about and was offered to me, and I'm delighted to take it. It's been 2017 since the last time we competed in the World Rally Championship in Wales, and I hadn't hoped it would take this long to get back to the World Championship, but finally the door's open for me to come back in, and I can't wait to get going on the event.
Have the two of you driven together before?
No, we actually haven't. He's flying to Donegal this week, and we're going to meet up and do some recce practice, and we're going to do a pre-event test in Portugal in the next week or two, and then hopefully everything clicks and we'll be straight into the event then in Greece.
Well, you're a man who likes a challenge, and this is certainly going to be one.
Yeah, definitely, and obviously Hamid is a very experienced driver. He would have competed in the World Rally Championship in the early 90s and 2000s, and he's taken a wee bit of a break the last number of years, but he's come back now with the program again, and he's a big youth club to do more events next year. So yeah, look, it's a bit of a challenge again. It's a completely new personal system for me. It's a new team, Caribbean prepared by Racing 7 from Spain, and it's probably one of the more demanding rallies on the calendar. They call it the Rally of the Gods. Very tough stages, very rough stages, but look, that's what rallying is all about, and co-driving is all about: new terrain, new challenges, and bring it on.
Sligo navigator Niall Burns, who's getting ready to compete in Rally Greece next month. A reminder finally that this programme is available each week as a podcast on oceanfm.ie or wherever you get your podcast. Simply search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle on your various platforms to find it. We're back with you next week, same time, same place.